Okay, so the last several weeks, I guess this is maybe going into the third week, we'll kind of finish this up, but what we've been talking about is are things that love, from looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love refuses to do. The love does not envy, love does not parade, it is not puffed up, it does not rejoice in iniquity. And so therefore, the inverse of that, love is patient, love is kind, love is humble, love is forgiving. All the stuff that we said, well, that's the easy stuff to do, right? No, it can be very difficult. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's great. That's when you're kind of dealing with people that are easy to deal with. And that's definitely not always the case. So at times, when it comes to our hearts, these are very difficult things to do. But we talked about with God, we can do those things. With God in our lives as Christians, and if we are living our lives as Christians, not just calling ourselves Christians, then there are things that we can do when it comes to love and that we are expected to do when it comes to love, and things that love refuses to do. So when we look at, when we continue to look at this topic of what love refused to do, and we're going to finish it up here, hopefully in the first few minutes before we transition to another kind of theme within 1 Corinthians 13, what I'd like to look at is the having a heart of integrity, having a heart of integrity. When her son asked his mom for a definition of a lie, "Mom, what is the definition of a lie?" She was trying to think of, okay, let me use some Bible verses. So she was thinking about Proverbs. She was thinking about Psalms. So she mistakenly coupled a couple of verses together. A lie is an abomination that is a very present help in the time of trouble. Does that sound right? A lie is an abomination, absolutely, that is a very present help in the time of trouble. That's kind of not right, right? But is that how people actually tend to live their lives? Is that how we might sometimes act in our lives? That, yeah, we know a lie, it's horrible. A lie is horrible. But when I'm in trouble, yeah, it's kind of a, this will help. And it'll help right now if I just lie. So we could say, wow, how could somebody do that? But how are we living? How are we living our lives? I know we don't have probably anybody that's taking exams from a school standpoint. Maybe we do. We might have people that are working on continuing education. We might need to get the kids pulled in and say, hey, do you ever cheat on an exam? Some of you are teachers, I know. Do you ever have kids that cheat on exams? That's probably kind of a given that that happens. What about misrepresenting our earnings to the IRS? Because, hey, they get enough taxes. They get enough of my money. So let's, I'm gonna lie about this. I'm going to report this differently. What about just half-truths? I'll conceal things. I'll just not say what I know is the truth, because then maybe I can get by with something. It could very well be religious errors that people try to pass off as God's word, using verses out of context. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. And we try to say, well, you know, here's a famous one that we'll get to. Judge not lest you be judged. That's probably the world's favorite verse from the Bible, right? But is that all there is to it? So, religious error, trying to pass it off as this is God's word. Who was famous from the Bible for trying to use God's word to cause sin? Satan. So, or just blatant fabrications, just blatant lies. Some people just lie. Not excusing it. Some people just do it. So a heart of integrity What love does, it promotes integrity. It promotes truthfulness. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6 says, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. So love does not rejoice in iniquity, in unrighteousness, in immoral behavior or unfair behavior. It rejoices in the truth. It's a choice. There's a choice being made here between immoral behavior and truthfulness or integrity. If you look at Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. And that's pretty strong language, right? It'd be better for a poor man who has integrity than a person who's perverse in speech and therefore is a fool. Still in Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 6. Again, it's kind of a repeat, but better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. So, if I love you, I will always tell you the truth. It's a simple concept, right? It's simple. It's not always easy. It's a simple concept. But sometimes we do get in the heat of the moment, or we kind of try to justify of, well, there's a greater good here. If I told the truth, then it will upset someone, or it'll cause a problem, or it'll lead to different things. So therefore, it's justified in this case. No, it's not. It's not. And by the way, that's just an easy way to justify lies. If we can say, well, there's a greater good here. So it's, again, about our heart, about our integrity. Now, I will say there are times, just me.
If you tell the truth, you don't have to try to remember what you said.
That is very true. If you, Mary said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to try to remember your lie. You don't have to remember what you said because some of us have probably, I remember, I've been a kid, probably been an adult, where you're like, okay, well, I'll kind of say this is what's happened. And then that leads to more conversation, that leads to more conversation, and you start to have to build lies on top of lies, and then you end up getting caught because your lies don't stay consistent with each other, and then you're really in trouble, right? Yeah, it's a lot easier just to tell the truth and stick to it. Right? Tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Now, you want to be... go ahead, Gary. Yeah, it's interesting talking here about, for those that are online, if someone is... if two different people are looking at a verse or a section of Scripture and saying, this is what I think this means, the other one says, this is what I think this means, and if those seem contradictory, one might say to the other, you're lying to me, and the other, you're lying to me. That's an interesting situation, and that's where love comes into play, where we might want to be careful about immediately just saying, you're lying to me. Hey, let's dive deeper into this, and let's see what God's Word says and what it doesn't say, and let's make sure we're working together to understand it out of love, not out of, as soon as somebody says something different than me, I'm going to jump on it and say you're a liar, and therefore... that could be interesting versus blatant. We're not even talking about the Scriptures lying to each other and that sort of thing. Absolutely. So with love, I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, one thing we got to be a little careful of. It doesn't mean that when someone walks in the room and, they're wearing this suit that just looks horrible, You know, it's like, look at that tie. Look at that. That doesn't even work. And probably that could happen a lot with me because if I don't get my colors right, something might look horrible if Misty doesn't happen to catch that I've messed up with my colors and color blindness. And now, does that mean I better run up to somebody and tell them that I think their suit is ugly? Because that's the truth. Now, there's times where it's kind of like, well, you just don't say something. And I'm not saying that means it's the truth. That could be an opinion thing. But my point is this. Sometimes you don't run up to people and just smack them in the face with the truth because the Bible says I got to tell the truth. There's times you just don't say anything. So don't get me wrong here. It's not like we're trying to destroy people's lives because I got to go tell them something that's a truth. But we will talk about how when there is something biblically or spiritually going on in someone's lives and they're in error, we need to be talking to them.
And they have no idea.
Exactly. So what she mentioned, what Sherilyn mentioned, is that they're especially in this younger generation, and sometimes, unfortunately, I think some of our generation are like, oh, I could adopt that if it fits my what I want to do. But how people will say, oh, you've got your truth, I've got my truth, and everybody's truth is their own truth, and that's totally okay. Your truth can be different than my truth, and vice versa. Well, yes, there are things in life that I may have some views on or opinions on that it's okay for me to have opinions on. Your truth may be that my suit is horrible. Your truth, your opinion, right? If you want to call it your truth, okay, but that's your opinion. My opinion might be, well, you're probably right. My suit's pretty awful, or whatever. That's not a truth thing. That's an opinion thing. But if we are saying, and if we have the view, or if anybody has the view, that my truth about my salvation and how I get to heaven is however I determine it and not how God determines it is going to be, that's a problem. Because, and we've talked about this, and I've had conversations recently with people, God's truth, God's word will never change. And when we try to say, well, that's just how you view the Bible, but I've got my own truth, that's a problem. Anytime that's being said. Yes, ma'am.
We have to remember that we will be judged by what's in this book.
Exactly. We will be judged by what's in this book. That's actually going to be, hopefully we get there, we're going to be talking about that a little bit. Don't know if I should wait on this. This is an interesting topic because I have had in the last week a Bible study where I've been blatantly told, well, that's just how you view it. And what I tried to do, knowing that that was going to be the approach, was, I'm not going to say a word, but let's establish a couple of ground rules. One, first and foremost, do we believe that this is God's word? Can we agree on that? That is God's word. It is God-breathed. It is inspired, and it comes from God. And the answer was absolutely. Great. Because that's a huge ground rule. If people don't believe that's God's word, that's tough. Okay, two, do we believe, both of us, that his truth will never change? Yes. Great. Then we can have a study. Then I'm like, hey, I don't want to say anything, but here's where I see the concerns. And now let's look at just what God says. Nothing else, just what God says. Not me trying to embellish it or explain it. Just what does God's word say? And we did that. And then talked about it. And the answer was, well, you think that. Ooh. That's what we're getting at. And I think it's different. And it's different nowadays. Well, wait, didn't we just agree that God's word is God's word and it never changes? Well, that's what you think. You know, it's exactly that mentality nowadays that's happening. I shouldn't say nowadays, it's happened over time, right? Where people want to believe what they want to believe, and they want to skew God's word so it fits the way they want to live. But it does not give us, if we have love and we are a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian, it does not mean we don't still try to reach them. It is our job, and we're going to talk about this, in love, it is our roles, it is our responsibilities to, in love, go to Christians that are erring and talk to them and bring them back to God. It's their choice, but to try to bring them back to God out of love. And I'm kind of digressing here, but I think it's very much related to what we're talking about. Did you have another comment? Right. Yeah, so that's the case in many cases where you're looking at a group of verses, and there could be different thoughts on, at least initially, on what does that mean? And that is very much where we have to go to study, and we're going to talk about this too, or we may, about the fact that we need to start with, when there's a different view or a different thought on a series of scriptures, our first reaction should not be, you're wrong, and I know you're wrong, and I'm going to prove you wrong. It should be, okay, let's try to understand that. Let's give benefit of the doubt and then work through it and discuss it. And then, and ultimately, still know that God's truth is God's truth, and he doesn't make it to where we cannot understand things. I mean, there are things, I was even told this last week, we can't know everything that God knows. We can't know everything. And I said, you're absolutely right. God even tells us that there are things we're not ever going to understand. But everything we need to understand, he does tell us. Everything we need to understand. And he doesn't make it overly difficult. There are things that take study, but that's usually because we want to try to do something other than God's word, and then we have to make sure, what does his word actually say? And it takes study, or it takes, we got to work together, because I might read this verse a little differently, so what does it mean? And we have to look at various other scriptures to try to make sure we can pull it all together and say, okay, this is what is inferred by God's word, or what God's word says. Exactly. That's exactly right. We have no authority to change God's word. Our responsibility is to take God's word and make sure we mold our lives according to his word, not the other way around, and not to justify it. And if we're spending all our time, relatively speaking, trying to justify our actions to see if we can make it fit God's word, that should be a red flag. That should be okay, maybe I need to rethink this. So, a heart of integrity. And I guess with all of what we're saying right here, to me, it's just kind of like saying, you know what? If I'm not, now is the time that I need to start being truthful with myself about how I approach my Christianity. Am I going to live with what God says no matter what and try to strive for that? Or am I going to live my life how I want it and hope and see if I can make it fit? Am I being truthful with myself? Am I truly living the life of a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian, or am I living my life like I want to and trying to make God's word fit it? Integrity, a heart of integrity. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, we see, if we look kind of at the bottom of this, you know, how does this relate to God? How does this relate to Jesus? And then ultimately to you and me. We've kind of talked about the how it relates to you and me and how we should live. But this is not something that God and Jesus were not, you know, you guys do this, but it doesn't hold to us. And it's consistent with what we've been talking about, how let's make sure we understand how God approaches this, how Jesus approached this, and therefore how we should approach it. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. It says right in the middle of that verse, without having to read the whole verse, it is impossible for God to lie. Does that leave any ambiguity there? It is impossible for God to lie. It says the same thing in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Let's go to John chapter 17, verse 17. John chapter 17. Verse 17. So this, again, this is Jesus speaking. It says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. So not only can God not lie, God's word is the truth. And again, this is everything we're getting to. Can we establish, you know, as I was talking about with the study I had last week, first thing I want to establish when we talk together is God's word the truth? You cannot, no matter how you look at these verses, there's not a different way to view that. Well, it might not be his truth. Well, God cannot lie. His word is the truth. Pretty simple. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So again, as it gets to the application of us, this is where, I mean, this is accurately handling the word of truth. First, his Bible, his word is the truth, and then we better handle it properly. We better not be using this and manipulating it to how we want to live our lives. Because you could almost argue doing anything with just little bits and pieces of a verse, without context, without studying further, without looking at the totality of God's word. So we have to be careful and accurately handle it. Jesus says in John chapter 14, going right back to John. Sorry, I probably should have put my verses in different order so you didn't have to turn as much, but I can just read it really quickly. John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus was so honest, he actually described himself as the truth. So with love, as a Christian, we will also be known as people who tell the truth in love. Keep that in mind. Tell the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood. So, be truthful. Laying aside falsehood, speak the truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So the good news is, again, well, this just says, speak truth to your neighbor. So I got two people living beside me. I need to speak the truth to them, but that's it at least. That's doing exactly what we just talked about, right? I could take this verse by itself and say, the Bible only says, speak truth to your neighbor. That's good because I only have to deal with two different families, the ones that are right beside me, maybe the ones across the street. But that's not what God's word says, right? That's taking a piece and saying, well, I got a verse. That's all I got to do. Everybody else I can lie to and make sure I get what I need to do. I can deceive. I can do everything else. No, that's not what we're talking about here, right? That's not looking at all of God's word and his truth as a whole. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self and its evil practices. So this is equating lying with evil, right? So, do not lie to one another. Now the other thing that I think I'm going to kind of skip down because I want to get to some more today. But ultimately, you know, when we think about truthfulness, we know that we need to be truthful. The key is we need to know and understand that we need to be truthful and honest all of the time and do it in love. And have it down at the bottom, not with hypocrisy, because hypocrisy is basically lying with your actions. Maybe even with your words, but it's lying with your actions. It's saying, this is what you need to do, but I'm doing something different. It's saying, this is God's word, but you don't see me living it. And when it comes to judging others or talking about judging others or looking at others' lives and saying, hey, there's something you need to work on from a God's word perspective, if we are not living and striving, not that we're not going to make mistakes, but if we're not striving to live in God's word, we have no right to bring it up to somebody else. It's the beam in your eye, you know, versus the speck in your brother's eye kind of a thing. We'll be talking about that. So when we conclude this section of what love refuses to do, a hummingbird. Do we have hummingbirds around here? Are there hummingbirds around here? Okay. Hummingbird's heart weighs a little less than 1 ounce and beats about 800 beats per minute. It's pretty impressive, right? What would happen if yours beat 800? Never mind. We'll go there. A human heart weighs a little less than a pound and beats, on average, around 70, 80 beats per minute. Do you have to tell your heart to do that? Hopefully not. Does a hummingbird have to tell its heart? Okay, 800 times a minute, let me get this going. No, it's involuntary, right? But when it comes to a heart of integrity, when it comes to what love refuses to do, we have to pay attention. We have to constantly be aware of what we're feeling, what we're doing, how we're acting in our hearts. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24, or verse 23, let's go over there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence. If you're watching over your heart with all diligence, that means it's not just, hey, this is involuntary, it'll be what it is, love just happens. No, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. By the way, next verse, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Right after that, right? Talking about lies, deceiving. Put away devious speech far from you. And put devious speech far from you. So, possessing, maintaining a heart of a First Corinthians Christian, it requires our attention. It requires diligence. It requires God's word. If we're living in God's word, then it's much easier to practice and be diligent with our hearts. Okay, so we're going to transition from what love refuses to do to what love chooses to do. So back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you make your way back over there. Who likes scary movies? Raise your hand. Was there one? Okay, we got one, two, three. I like scary movies. Those of you who know me well enough, you know I'm weird. And I'm not saying you guys are weird. You guys are not weird. I'm weird. I like scary movies. I'm weird for a lot of other reasons, so it's kind of that whole context thing. So, but you guys are not weird. You guys are great. The rest of you, if you don't like scary movies, you're kind of weird, but no, that's okay. No, scary movies, it's definitely an interesting genre. But there's a movie, an M. Night Shyamalan movie, if you know that name, a director that does a lot of kind of those sort of scary movies, but there's a movie called The Village, and in that movie, he speaks about his, a dad speaks about his daughter's love for her fiancé that's severely injured, and what he says about his daughter is, she is led by love. The world moves for love. It kneels before it in awe. That says that love is powerful and that love can do a lot of it. Just love is powerful. But why? Why is love powerful? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 tells us why love is powerful. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It gives us four positives of what love chooses to do. And so as we look through these things, and we're not going to get through it all today, but as we look through these things, what I would like for us to think about is, can you imagine what the church, what this congregation would look like if everyone would keep those words and live those words in their lives? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. What would the church look like if we all lived this? So that's kind of what we're going to walk through. If every member was a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian, the church would be a church that first protects one another. We would protect one another. We would support each other. So, verse 7, love bears all things. That bears translation carries the idea of covering or putting something over, placing a covering over it. Think of a carport, a garage, a pavilion where you're going to have a picnic. And what does that do? It's a cover, a protection. And so you can think of love as kind of this force field of care that's around you. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So here, well, in 1 Corinthians 13, to bear means to cover over. Here, it's to cover up or conceal. Now, that doesn't mean it's like, oh, let's sin and we can cover it up with love. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about love leads us as a congregation and with each other to support each other, to protect each other from sin and the consequences of sin. So I'm going to help to protect you because I love you from sin and the consequences of sin. So, in application, if I love you, I will care about your spiritual welfare. James chapter 5, verse 20. Let's look there. James chapter 5, verse 20. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. There are times when you might love someone very much, a brother or sister in Christ, might be a relative, might be a parent, might be a child, one of your kids, might be a very good friend, that is a Christian that has left God. We've probably all had those situations. You might be in that situation. And because of our relationship with that person, we might be afraid to say, you're sinning, you're living in sin, and you need to change what you're doing. Using God's word out of love, it might be tough to go to that person and do that. Us having just a fun, loving relationship does not excuse us from needing to tell them the truth and to go to them and bring them back to God, to try to bring them back to God. Let he who turns a sinner from the error of his way saves his soul. There may be situations where we have to choose, and we're not going to have time to get into this, that we may have to choose how we maintain a relationship with a person that is blatantly a Christian, but with a close relationship to us, who is blatantly living a life against God's word. We may have to change our actions with that person, and it may be very difficult. But what we have to make sure we do is not compromise God's truth to maintain a relationship with that person that will then, therefore, just continue to live a life of sin. Because what we have to keep in mind is that it may be a situation where I may have a great worldly relationship with you, and I've basically given up on their soul for eternity in heaven because I want to have a good, just let's make sure we don't mess up any relationship with them here on this earth. Instead of looking at the big picture of, I want to be with you in heaven, and we've got to go to God's word. Now that person has a choice. They will always have the choice. That person that you're trying to turn from the error of his way may choose, I'm not coming back to God. But it's not our job. Well, it is our job to make sure they know what that truth is. And that can make for some very difficult conversations. That can make for a lot of tears. That can make for a lot of heartache. But if that person comes back to God, it was all worth it. Amen. I didn't nearly get as far as I wanted to get. And I apologize for I think this is a good discussion no matter what, but we didn't get very far. I know we didn't get very far. Keep looking at 1 Corinthians 13. There's a lot there, and we'll keep going with it. Thank you for your attention this morning. I appreciate it very much.